Okay, hello and welcome to our final week of Connection Essentials. We are excited to be back with you guys. We have a final book to give out in our final session. And I am going to give it to... Have you guys got a book yet? I'm going to give it to you, Stu. It's a great book. You'll enjoy it. It's by Brian Johnson, who heads up Bethel Music, talking about he experienced depression and it was kind of his journey out of that and anxiety. Yeah. Really good book. Okay. So we are going to make time in a moment where I'm going to get you to turn and share with someone what you have found helpful so far of the last 2 weeks. And then after you guys do that, we'll get you to call out some of those things to us. But firstly, I'm going to kind of tell you, remind you of what we've talked about for the last 2 weeks. I'm going to do a little bit of a recap in case your brain is, like mine, tired. So here is what we've covered over the last 2 weeks, which is a lot. We talked about what is powerful communication. We said powerful communication authentically represents what is going on inside of us in a fashion that creates, protects, and builds connection as we make space for the other party to meet us in communicating what is happening for them. Catherine was talking about this, and she talked about how powerful communication is not about control, but it's for connection. She also shared the four styles of communication. Do you guys remember what those are? Call out some of the four to me if you do. Passive, yes. Aggressive. Passive aggressive, boom. And the fourth one. Boom. We got there. Well done. I shared about code books. I talked about...
They need chocolates because they
don't have them. Okay. Okay. I talked about code books. Talked about how we all have a code book that we communicate out of and we interpret the communications of others through that code book. We talked about how nobody has the same code book as you, but we tend to judge everyone else's communication based on our own code book, which gets messy. We talked, Zach talked about receiving feedback. He talked about some unhelpful ways to respond, such as attacking, defending, and avoiding, which is easy to do when receiving feedback, or the helpful way of receiving feedback, of actually adjusting to the feedback. Catherine shared about authentic self-awareness and emotions. She did this in the second week. So I think if you're here in the afternoon, I maybe did that. But we talked about how we all have emotions. No one doesn't have emotions. No one is a logical robot without emotions. We all have emotions. And emotions are so tangled with thoughts and feelings that they are impossible to separate from thoughts. We talked about how with those emotions, it's actually our job to know what's going on inside of us. It's our job to know what emotions we're feeling and to be able to communicate that to other people around us. It's not anyone else's job to just know what's going on inside of you. We also gave out a wheel, which like a feeling wheel as a tool for growing in emotional literacy, which is over there. I think we've still got some copies, maybe at least one I can see. So grab that if that's going to be helpful for you. Chris gave us wonderful news. She told us that we will be disappointed in relationships. She said, all people are disappointing. She also gave us a tool for creating a new normal and communicating in relationships, the I statement, which was, I feel blank when blank, I need to feel blank, so can we blank. For example, I feel frustrated when I have to wash the dishes by myself, and I need to feel connected, so can we make a plan for how we can do this. I talked about forgiveness. I talked about how forgiveness is important. Forgiveness is freeing. It's important for our mental health. And I talked about how it's actually sometimes difficult to work through forgiveness, especially when it's complex or there's been a long period of hurt. And in those instances, we need help. We talked about listening to understand and six micro-listening skills. Self-awareness, door openers, minimal encouragers, reflecting content, reflecting feeling, and open body language. So we have talked about a lot in these 2 weeks. I almost said 6 weeks, but maybe it's felt like 6 weeks. We have done it six times. Yeah, I guess so. That nine times. Yeah, no, you're right. Okay, so, well, we did the practice runs as well. Okay, so I would love for you to just turn to someone around you and share something that you found helpful. Have you had an aha moment? Have you heard something that you were like, that is a helpful tool, I want to practice that? Have you started practicing that? Just share with someone around you something that you found helpful so far from these last 2 weeks. And then I'm going to get you guys to call out some of those to me. But share with someone around you in like twos or threes. Alrighty. I would love to hear some of what was shared. Would anyone like to be brave and share with the whole group what you've found helpful or an aha moment you've had so far? You can just call it out from there. You don't have to stand up or dance or anything like that. Yeah, you can dance if you want. Yeah, for sure. Sometimes we won't know what emotion we're feeling, but if we can look at what is going on in our body, sometimes we can work backwards from that. Yeah, really good, Zach. Anyone else like to share? That's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I think that is such a helpful tool to have. I was wearing one of my favorite shirts, which is representing my favorite coffee roaster this morning, and walked out of the house kind of before I realized that I was wearing a shirt that said Floozy, because that's my favorite coffee brand. But I realized, like, my code book is, this is coffee. Other people, that's like someone of loose morals. And I realized I was like teaching church in a shirt that was saying Floozy. Well, that's why I wore a jacket the whole time. So yeah, definitely a code book example. No, because I got barbecue sauce on it this morning. Okay, so let me tell you where we're going today. Okay, we are talking about introductions. We are talking about boundaries, the ebb and flow of relationships, and then we're going to have some time at the end for Q&A. There we are. So that is kind of where we're heading. We're going to have some time for questions. So if you've got questions from this week or questions from other weeks, we will have some time for that at the end. So think ahead of time, if you'd like, about those questions. Last week, we were talking a little bit about disappointment. And I think one of the biggest reasons why there is disappointment in relationships is boundaries. It's also one of the biggest contributors to conflict in relationships. Boundaries or lack of boundaries. And that's what we're going to focus on today. We're going to focus on boundaries. Why they're important, what they are. And we'll talk a little bit about how to communicate them. So I'm excited about where we are heading. And as I said, we'll have some question time at the end in case you're like, but what does that look like in this instance? Okay, I'm going to hand over to Chris for What Are Boundaries?
Thanks, Jim. One of the places you might need to use boundaries, you know, when we were talking about I statements, when you do this, I feel disconnected, I need to feel connected, so can we, talk about this and come up with a solution. If the person receives that feedback and isn't prepared to make any changes, obviously that's disappointing, but it can also be a place where we actually need, because of that response, to put in another boundary. So, yeah, as we go through, you can be thinking of some situations perhaps where, Russ. Yeah, go for it. It's a bit chilly. So we'll start off just thinking about what boundaries are. And that's a really simple definition, a limit or requirement in a relationship that allows us to protect or prioritise what's important to us. So a boundary is actually a limit. You might describe it like a line in the sand of your relationship to say, you know, this is okay, past that it's not okay. So healthy boundaries are ways we communicate in relationship that help us take responsibility for our actions and our feelings or our emotions, while not taking responsibility for the actions and emotions of others. And just to kind of clarify there, we in relationship, especially with significant people in our lives, we are responsible to them. We're responsible to people about how we treat them. But we're not responsible for them. In other words, for what's going on in their life. So we're not responsible for making people happy or for keeping them happy. We're not responsible for fixing them if they're unhappy. And I don't know, but I think lots of us have found ourselves in a position where we've thought it was our responsibility to make somebody else happy, especially if they were unhappy with us. And that way we find ourselves actually taking responsibility for another person, which is not what we're responsible for. Unhealthy boundaries look like taking too much responsibility for the emotions or actions of others. We might find ourselves doing something we don't want to do so that they don't get mad at us. So we might say yes when we really mean no. And it can also look like expecting other people to take too much responsibility for my emotions. We can say things like, "You make me so angry." Whose responsibility are we making it then? The other person. We're not owning and saying, "Actually, I'm really angry and I need to work out what's going on and deal with it." We're actually pointing the finger and blaming somebody and making them responsible for our emotions. That's an unhealthy boundary. So you make me so angry, or I wouldn't be so lonely if you came to visit me more. The person who's responsible for how lonely or not they are is me, not that person out there. Because when we make somebody else responsible for our emotions, we empower them over something that's actually we're meant to be powerful about. So I wanted to kind of give us opportunity to have a little conversation around this. What's been your experience with boundaries? If boundaries are the limits that we put in place to protect and prioritise what matters to us, what's been your experience with them? And what are some of the challenges and the benefits of boundaries? You know, what's been good or helpful that you've seen? What are some of the things maybe that you found difficult in that area of either setting boundaries or being the recipient of other people's boundaries? So just have a think about that and have a bit of a chat about any experience you've had with setting boundaries or experiencing boundaries. Off you go. Give you 3 or 4 minutes. Have a conversation. So what are some of the challenges we have in the area of boundaries? What's some of the things that make it difficult to set boundaries, would you say? Okay. So somebody's got like too much access to your life and they're not respecting what you need from that relationship. Okay. So that's an interesting challenge, isn't it? That sort of what you do after the gate's been open and the horse has bolted. Okay, can you give us an example of what that might sound like?
What do you mean you don't want to do this?
Okay, so that kind of not treating you or the relationship with respect. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, hopefully some of this will be helpful to today as well. Anyone else with anything that they've found helpful or challenging with a boundary? Being a people pleaser, not wanting to say no. So you end up saying yes when you didn't want to do it all. Yeah, yeah. It's good insight. Yeah, that's good. So hopefully this will be helpful as well. And I think we all do that. You know, like I said before, none of us have arrived at this. We're all on the journey of learning how to be more effective in our boundaries. So we're all practicing. Okay. So why do we need boundaries? Just thinking, boundaries, when they're used in healthy and powerful ways, create connection and communicate what we need. The limits that we place, that we put in place, allow us to maintain our own identity and well-being, and they also protect the well-being and the priority of our key relationships, such as our family. They're not about keeping people out, but they're about protecting what's important to ourselves and those around us. Helen shared this morning about, like, she and Brian have a date day on a Thursday, and somebody who needed pastoral care was and knew that that Thursday was their date day, continued to call them on a Thursday. And Helen just basically had to say, Thursday is our date day. Sorry, but we can talk to you, you know, on Friday, or we can, we can arrange, or there's some other people that you can speak to today, but we're not going to be available today. And those are really, really simple things. But if they don't do that, or if you don't protect the time that you have, especially if it's time with somebody significant that you need to protect, then what happens is that that person misses out, they get resentful, and they feel like you don't actually care about them. And they're the very people we want to know we care about. So boundaries are really important in order for us to protect and prioritise the most important relationships in our lives. Doesn't make them easy to do, though. The boundaries are not used for punishment or control, but to communicate what we feel safe or comfortable with. Well-communicated boundaries allow us to manage ourselves towards a healthy emotional and physical life, as well as protecting healthy connection and relationship with other people. Without healthy boundaries, we often feel overwhelmed, overworked, and overcommitted. How many of us have been there? Like, you just, maybe you wake up in the morning and you just kind of get downloaded with all the stuff that's on you, or how many balls you're juggling, and you go, ah. That's often a boundary issue, because we've said yes when we should have said no. And if we keep doing that, that leads to burnout in an unhealthy scenario. And some of us are in roles where that happens really easily, especially if you're a caring kind of person and you really want to meet other people's needs, or you're a servant, a person who likes doing things for other people. They often find it really hard to put boundaries in place, because somebody asks them to do something and they think, yeah, I can do that, I'd love to help you. And they do want to help you, but sometimes it's at the expense of even more important relationships. Okay, we did the house illustration this morning. Oh, I told you what it was. You wouldn't have known otherwise, would you, that that's a house? Sorry, Jim, but, you know, Jim helped me with this drawing. I reckon you can see it, because you're not that far away. I'll just bring it over this way. If this is the birds, my husband said it looked like a television on a wall. Anyway, if this is a house drawing, what does this bit there? That's the table with the chairs, the bird's eye view. Anyone know what this bit is? Kitchen sink? The lounge, yeah. It could be. The bedroom, the front door. Okay, so if we think about this as the path going outside of our house, who gets to walk along the path outside our house? Anyone. Anyone can walk along the path outside our house. It's completely okay. We don't feel like that's rude or somebody's threatening us necessarily. We're just happy for them to walk past. Who gets to walk up the path and be on our front veranda? Or perhaps a salesperson. Does anybody feel a bit annoyed opening the door to a salesperson that you haven't invited in? Including religious salespeople, I'll say. Why do we feel that? We haven't asked them. They're invading our space, and there's kind of like a boundary violation going on. Whenever you feel like you shouldn't be here, who gets to hang out in our living room? Friends and family. Yep, because they're safe. We know and love them. We get to have them. Who gets to come into our bed? Yeah, into our bedroom and our bed. Like, that's the next layer of intimacy there, isn't it? And you think to yourself, sometimes people get into the wrong place in our lives, like you were saying, Tash. You know, they get in too close when they should be here, or they get here when they should be further out. And when we kind of get that feeling of, it's not right. I don't want you this kind of close in. Often it's because we need to put in a boundary. So that's just a little picture, but it gives us an idea in a physical illustration of what's happening to us emotionally sometimes as well, where somebody is kind of wanting our deepest, darkest secrets and we don't feel safe with them. And we actually need to maybe move them out onto the veranda. Or something like that, not share quite as intimately with them. Okay, so how do we set boundaries? Just quickly, here's a couple of thoughts about how we set boundaries. We decide what is and isn't acceptable behaviour or actions. We decide what consequences would go with continually doing that, and we communicate that clearly, but firmly and compassionately with the other person. We actually follow through. So it might look something like this. This conversation is actually feeling quite disrespectful. I want to work this out, but I'm not okay with you yelling at me. And if you keep raising your voice, I'm going to end the conversation and we'll have to reschedule for another time. That's the what's not acceptable. That's the yelling. What consequences? If you've made the connection, I want to work this out, but if you keep doing this, the consequence will be that I'll end the conversation and we'll have to reschedule. It's not trying to control that person. It's controlling me. This is what I will do if you choose to continue yelling at me or whatever the behaviour is. And just the last little question I'm going to leave with you for a moment to think about is, why don't we do boundaries well? I'm going to give you 2 minutes to chat about that. Why don't we necessarily communicate well around that whole boundary area? We do want people to like us. Anyone not want to be liked? Yeah. Have we got another slide? Oh, look, that's beautiful. Sometimes we're afraid of the other person's reaction. We're afraid that they'll get angry with us or blow up or give us the cold shoulder or cut us off the Christmas card list. Or so sometimes we're afraid of our feelings getting hurt, and sometimes we're afraid of hurting their feelings. No, I can't meet with you this month, or that's not something I'm able to do. Or sometimes if I'm asking someone, would you be willing to be on the morning tea team? Sometimes people say yes when they mean no, because they don't want to hurt my feelings, or they don't want to, they don't want to seem like they don't care. But actually they should say no if they can't do it. Yeah, so it's sometimes it's about we don't put boundaries in place because we don't want our feelings hurt. Sometimes we don't want to offend or hurt somebody else. And what happens is that we sacrifice our identity, and we remove the boundaries in order to keep the relationship, but we actually, by not putting in place healthy boundaries, we actually undermine the very relationship that we're trying to build. So healthy relationships actually build good, healthy boundaries actually build good, clean, healthy relationships. Okay. Can anybody, just as I finish this section, think of a time they put in a boundary that really helped protect something that was important to them? Can anybody just give us an example of some time they did put in a boundary and it helped to protect something that mattered to them? And maybe your friends wanted you to keep partying on, but always, yeah. But you said, no, I need to get home and have some sleep. Great example. Okay. I think it's time for the beautiful Catherine to come and talk about the ebb and flow of relationships, how relationships change over time. And I love this section. This is my favourite section from this morning. You did a great job.
It's the only section that she's not doing. Okay, thank you for the compliment. Thank you. Okay. So I'm going to share with you the four things that set me free in relationships and brought me a lot of peace. You're welcome. It just means you get them for free. It took me ages to discover them. So I guess that's impartation, right, Zach? So basically, I'm going to give you permission to be yourself and live peacefully while communicating. So the first one of these was happened to me beautiful day in California. Probably not. It's probably raining because it was fall. And they don't say autumn. They say fall. Fall. Autumn's too fancy to say. No. So this time it wasn't a big miraculous healing or a really cool prophetic word where I fell over on the carpet. It was just a statement that my pastor said to me. He said something like, I know he's upset, but he isn't powerful enough to ruin my day. And I just sat there kind of gobsmacked because I'd never heard that before. And I realized that I get to be the powerful one in my life, which means that we get to grow in our ability to decide what we want to empower in our life. Who are we giving a voice to in our life? Are they kind? Are they respectful? My pastor was explaining that in one sentence. He was saying, I love this person who upset me. I have a commitment to continue to pastor him, but I will not allow him to affect my day. My pastor had compassion. He was being kind. He wasn't being grumpy or mean, and had a commitment to the person in his life. He wasn't trying to get rid of the guy. He just wasn't allowing the person to take up space in his life that was reserved for his wife, four kids, and his ability to continue with his day calmly. So that's what I'm sharing with you today. You are the most powerful person in your life. You get to decide who affects you, who you spend time with, and who gets a say. If I was on a walk with Leo to help him fall asleep, because that's the last, Hail Mary pass, as Americans say, nothing else is working, I might as well just go for a walk. And someone walked up to me that I'd never met before and said, you're doing it wrong. I probably wouldn't take their advice because who are they and I don't know them. But if Jim said that, or if my sister said that, or if my mum said that, I would take more, they would have more weight in their words, right? Like they would have more power, but they would have more power because I'd given it to them because of my relationship with them and because they have a little bit more, like, know what they're talking about than a random lady on the street. So sometimes the hope is that everyone in our life that we allow into our life, we've chosen to allow them into our lives and we've empowered them, like we've let them, so we've given them power to be in our lives. But sometimes we get people in our lives that have come in and they've taken power. So I just want to have a little bit of this where I remind you that that's not okay. If there's someone in your life that's taking power, whether that's through like their physical force or them just being pushy and you feel like you can't say no, or them just being mean, that's not okay. So if you're experiencing it, please talk to someone you trust. You could also talk to your doctor. You could call 1-800-RESPECT. There's quite a few places that you could get help from if you need it, because when people have come into our lives to take power, I'd say that pretty much everyone needs help to put in boundaries and to create safety again. Like we all need help to restore safety for our lives. Just needed to say that. Okay, here's another thought that changed my life. Other people cannot decide how close they get to me. So just because someone's related to me or they've known me my whole life, or even if they really just innocently feel connected to me, like they think that I'm awesome, and they don't know any better, they don't get to decide how close they get to me. I get to decide how close they get to me. You get to decide. You get to decide who you let in and who you give power to in your life. If this is not a powerful decision on your part, it usually results in anger, frustration, and apathy. So like Chris was talking about, if I feel like I have to say yes to making morning tea once every 3 months, or I don't even know, I'm not the right person to be on morning tea, I would feel resentful, or I might feel frustrated or angry and not want to do it. That's because I haven't given a powerful yes, or I haven't given a powerful no. So here's my third life-changing thought. Clear is kind. As we've been learning in this series, communicating powerfully is very important. Communicating clearly and powerfully actually creates connection, intimacy, and health, even though it feels awful when you're doing it sometimes. Speaking clearly is the kindest thing you can actually do. Saying no is a lost art. So I was very bad at this. I didn't know how to say no, and I had to relearn it from scratch. So in case you need to relearn it from scratch, here's a beginner's tip. If you're learning to say no, you could say, "Thank you. I'll think about that. I'll look at my calendar and I'll get back to you." This is particularly useful. This is particularly useful if you have a new baby and you're not sure what day it is. Like, what, do you want to hang out tomorrow? I don't know. What's tomorrow? but it also helps us just in that moment where we're like, kind of like, I don't know what to say. I feel like I have to say yes. It just gives you a buffer time for you to go away and think about it. Is this my priority? Is this something that I want to empower? Is this something that I actually want to do? Do I actually have time for it? And as long as you get back to them, it's a very powerful way to communicate. So this could sound like, I've spoken to Jim and we don't have capacity for that this month. Or, I'm booked out this month. What about next month? Or, I need to get our baby to sleep at 6. can we have coffee in the morning instead? Or, I know you asked if you could come along to the movies with us, but I actually plan to have one-on-one time with them. Could we make a plan to hang out as a group soon instead? You also get to decide how much information you share. If you don't want to, you don't have to justify your no. So you could just say, no thanks. The whole point is you get a say about your own life, how you spend your time and who you spend it with. Make sure you communicate it clearly, especially if you do want to spend time with someone. When I was a teenager, I had started going to a new church and I made some new friends and they were all really into soccer. Yay! I don't know anything about soccer. I didn't then, don't know now. But they were going to a lot of Brisbane Roar games because obviously I was in Brisbane and they were having lots of fun and all the photos are coming up on Facebook and I was like, oh, they're hanging out without me. So I had a choice. I could either get really mad and resentful or get super passive aggressive, which was my go-to back then, so mature. Or I could communicate to them that I wanted to hang out with them. So I went up to them and I said, hey, I know I don't like soccer. You know I don't like soccer. I know I don't like soccer. But spending time with you, I like spending time with you, and it looks like fun to get dressed up and attend a game. Can I come next time? So obviously it turns out that they didn't invite me because they knew that I pretty much effectively hate sport of all kinds and don't understand it and have absolutely no desire in it at all. Which is fair, right? If I was going to go to a library, I wouldn't invite a person that doesn't like reading. Like, that's just weird. But we ended up attending the next game together and I had a lot of fun. I had no idea what was going on, but it was really fun. and that really, like, from there, our friendship really grew. And we ended up backpacking through Europe and the UK together, and we ended up watching Manchester United play Wales, which was really cool. No idea what happened, of course, but they sing, the Welsh sing. It's really fun. It was like, I had a lot of fun. Yeah. You are my sunshine. Yeah, it was great. I can't do it. I think the Welsh accent's one of the best accents in the world, FYI. So make sure you put yourself out there and invite people into your life that you want in your life. They might not always be able to be as involved as you like. It might look different to the way that you hope, but it's important to put yourself out there and give and take a chance. Okay, this is my last point. You've almost made it through. Congratulations. Relationships are living things. Sounds super obvious when I say it, but actually kind of a revelation. They change. And most of our relationships move in and out of our boundaries, kind of like the tide. So like with the house. Sometimes people are really close and sometimes people are just on our veranda. Like, it's, things change as we go through different seasons and times in our life. So my closest friend 5 years ago was Elle. She's from England. She's currently in Cornwall. She was previously working for the people who make Doc Martin. Isn't that cool? She's like, have you heard of the show? And I was like, yes, I have. I know all about that show. It's super cute. So obviously, like back in the day, we would sit in our house in California and we'd drink real English tea and watch BBC and laugh about the Americans and how weird they are. But it's different now because obviously we're in different time zones and pretty far away and we haven't seen each other in like 5 years. But we're still really good friends. It just looks different. We message each other. Sometimes we do FaceTime when we're both in our pajamas on different days at the same time. So confusing. But we're friends. It just looks different. We're just not as close as we used to. We're not, you know, in the bedroom drinking tea and watching Miranda as much anymore. And this is normal. This is what happens through our lives. Like when I got married and now I have a baby, my relationships are different again. It happened when I left school. It happened when I left uni. You know, it just happens throughout our life. And that's really normal and healthy. We're always changing and growing and our world's always changing. And in the past, especially when my friends have fallen in love, I knew that they were just like, I would not hear from them for ages. They would just drop off the face of the earth because they're in love and it was annoying and gorgeous. And I had a chance to either get really annoyed at them and be like, oh my gosh, they're in love. They really changed and get really angry at them. Or I could be kind and I could think to myself, aw, they're in love. They just need some. So also, sometimes we need to shift our boundaries when someone becomes disrespectful to us. So if I am the powerful person in my life, so if this is my house, I get to decide who comes in and who doesn't, right? That's why people knock on the, well, other than the Nelson's house where people just walk in. The first time I ever visited, I think, oh, maybe it was the third time I visited, I was really sick. So I was in bed and it was Laura, but I didn't know it was Laura then, just like, walks in the house, I could hear her, and she's like, is anyone home? I'm just getting some salad dressing. Come, like, walks into the kitchen, takes salad dressing and just leaves. And I was like, this place is weird. Everyone else, you knock on the door to come in your house. Now I understand more. And that's, you know, that's us saying, oh, who's at the door? Let me suss you out. Yes, I know you. Oh, Zach. Zach can come in. Zach is respectful and kind, he can come in. Whereas it's some random person off the street or someone that sends me text messages that are mean, I'm going to be like, you can't come in my house. So that's when we shift our boundaries. It's my job to decide who I let in my house. Chris is about to talk about this, but I just wanted to check in with you to see if I've done my job well enough. Who is the most powerful person in your life?
Okay, let me tell you a quick story. I'm going to use this because in this story, there is a physical house as well as the example. I'm just checking if I have a marker. Okay, I'm going to tell you a story about Krista. Krista is someone I mentor. I've mentored Krista for almost a year and a half, I think. This is Krista's house. So Krista, she lives in Redding, California, which has a lot of students, a lot of young people. Krista is single and managed to somehow buy a house, which is very impressive on an American salary. But she bought a house and she has a lot of value for community. She has a lot of value for family. So this house has other bedrooms in it with beds, I assume. They only have two pillows as opposed to her. So this house has other bedrooms. And because she has such a value for community, she was like, I'm going to be really intentional in who I give access to my house. I'm going to intentionally build community in this house. So she invited four other women to come and live with her in this house. And they like talked a lot about it coming in. They talked about like what they wanted the place to look like, what they wanted safety for them to look like. And it was going really marvelously. And then she had someone I'm going to call, let's go with Diana, because that's a name off the top of my head, and I don't think there's a Diana in this room. So she had Diana, who was one of the housemates that lived with her, came to her really upset, and Diana was crying at the time, and Diana said, I'm so upset, you're not going to believe this, my sister is going to have to move in with us. Chris said, what? Because what was happening in this moment was she was trying to make this Krista's problem using emotion. Like, I'm upset, and as a result of me being upset, you're going to have to deal with this problem. My sister, she went on to explain, has a drug addiction, an alcohol addiction, and is fleeing from an abusive relationship.